Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us today is one of our certified sexual assault nurse examiners to talk about the importance of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Before we get started into this topic, I have a few announcements that I'd like to share with listeners. As you are aware, I've talked about this on previous programs. Mark your calendars, bring your kids, your grandkids. We have a community Easter egg hunt going on that is set for this Saturday, April 12th. There will be an Easter egg hunt and a color run, both of which will be held at Wilson Brewer Park and Train Depot on Ohio Street, and we're going to start promptly at 10 o'clock. The event is sponsored by Van Deest Medical Center Foundation, Wilson Brewer Park Foundation, and Trinity Lutheran Church, with support from Asbury Methodist Church, the Cat Hut, Sierra's Balloon Creations, and Rue Piper Farms. The Easter egg hunt will begin at 10 o'clock. We will have separate hunts for children ages 0 to 3 years, 4 to 7 years, and 8 to 12 years. There will also be a sensory-friendly and adaptive hunt available for kids and young adults with disabilities. Prizes will be awarded in each age division. And then in addition to the Easter egg hunt, as I mentioned, we will have a color run, and that will be for all ages. That's going to start and leave from the park at 10:30. There is no cost to participate and no pre-registration is required. And I've mentioned this before, if you're not familiar with the color run, you know, it'd be fun to come watch. We encourage our participants to wear white or light-colored clothing. They will do a route that is less than a mile, and along the race route, there will be 5 different stations where the runners will just be powdered with all sorts of color. So they will be completely tie-dyed when they're finished. Children will also have the opportunity between 10 and 11 to participate in a number of different activities. So there will be free photos with the Easter Bunny. We will have live baby animals on display. There will be face painting, balloon bunny ears, egg coloring, and a cookie frosting station. So there's really something for everyone. We're looking to have a great morning, great weather. Plan to join us again for the Easter egg hunt and color run. Begins at 10 o'clock, and it's this Saturday, April 12th. We have a great opportunity for those graduates who are looking to go into the healthcare field. The Van Deest Medical Center Auxiliary is offering 6 scholarships of $1,000 each to 2025 high school graduates wishing to pursue a career in healthcare. Individuals going back to further their education in the healthcare field will also be considered for the scholarships. Applicants must be a resident of Hamilton County or a graduate of any of the high schools within Hamilton County, or currently working or have a parent working at Van Deest Medical Center and clinics at the time of the award. Scholarship application forms are available at all of the area high schools within Hamilton County and available online. If you go to our website at vandeestmc.org, it's located in a couple different places there. You can print that out. The deadline for the application is April 15th, so you'll want to make sure you get that completed and sent in, at least postmarked by the 15th. The April Community Blood Drive, I want to mention, will be held Thursday, April 17th from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Clinic Boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. Appointments are encouraged. You may go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org or call 800-287-4903. Your donation provides blood for the hospital and possibly your neighbors. I want to give a thank you to Scooters in Webster City for the donation of delicious cookies for our donors. And this blood drive this month is a week later, so I want to make sure that that gets out there. Usually it is held the second Thursday of each month during the month of April. This April it is the third Thursday on April 17th. And then lastly, I do want to mention we have a uniform scrub and clothing sale coming up the end of the month. It will be Wednesday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. once again in the clinic boardroom at Van Deese Medical Center. This sale is being sponsored by Van Deese Medical Center Auxiliary. And the sale itself is not a fundraiser. The auxiliary actually is offering a 20% discount for all the shoppers that come out. So that's just a little thank you from the auxiliary. Mark your calendars. Come shopping Wednesday, April 30th from 8 to 4. And I think we are ready to start into our program. As I mentioned, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. This is a time where we aim to increase awareness about the causes and risk factors for sexual assault and empower individuals to take steps to prevent sexual violence in their communities. On today's program, we're going to be talking with one of our registered nurses about this public health crisis and, most importantly, the services and support which are available at Van Deese Medical Center for survivors of sexual assault. Joining us this morning is registered nurse and certified sexual assault nurse examiner, Cindy Sinclair. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me on the program today.
You're welcome.
Cindy, you kind of have a unique story. Gosh, you retired.
I did.
Now you're back working, we're thrilled. And I love that we're going to be talking about this topic and your willingness to discuss this. Maybe talk a little bit about your career, if you would, with listeners.
Okay. I'm an emergency room nurse at Van Deese Medical Center. I'm married to Steve Sinclair. We have 6 children. 3 are mine, 3 are his, and 3 boys, 3 girls, kind of like the Brady Bunch. We have 8 grandsons, 4 granddaughters, 3 great-grandsons, and 2 great-granddaughters, so we're kind of busy with all of them.
I guess.
I've been with Van Deese Medical Center for 35 and a half years. I've been a nurse for 18 and a half of those years. I worked in the office prior to that. And I've been in the ER for 17 and a half years. Recently returned to ER after being retired for 4 months, as you said. And I've been a SAE nurse for about 15 years. So I enjoy helping my community and helping people make the most of their worst days.
Mm. You are right where you are meant to be. So it's so great having you back. And what a great career in healthcare, Cindy. And you did. You worked your way up, and you just continue to give back to the community, to the patients, families, our neighbors. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Very much appreciated. So you talked about how you're a registered nurse in our emergency department, mm-hmm. and a certified sexual assault nurse examiner. Let's talk about this certification, what it is, and what is needed to obtain the certification.
To become a SANE nurse, you need to have been a nurse for a minimum of 2 years prior to taking the class, basically so that you are comfortable in your position, medications, that type of thing. There are classes that we take throughout the year to keep our educational requirements. Most of our classes are offered through 515 Forensics, who is out of Des Moines, and they are certified through the IAFN, and the IAFN is the International Association of Forensic Nurses. And then throughout the year, there's a refresher course that's offered as a hybrid course with 8 hours of education. It's also completed online. It includes a mock trial, clinical experience with mock patients, and also expert consultation, expert witness testimony, program consultation, and they've been also hosting webinars on a regular basis. So we just check in, we get an email, we check in, and we listen and are able to provide feedback during the class. So that's kind of nice. And the IAFN also offers classes, and either one of those entities are able to answer any questions. We can email them, call them with questions that we have if during a case or during a trial. if it would come up.
So great resource.
Yes, very good, very good, very available, mm-hmm. very helpful. And they just really support all of their SANE nurses, especially in rural mm-hmm. communities like Webster City, where it's unusual for us to have two SANE nurses. Some places require that all of their nurses are, and some require none of their nurses to be. So then they have to send their patients that have been sexually assaulted elsewhere if the provider's not comfortable doing the exam. So we are always ready to help with those services.
Well, I want to congratulate both you and Melissa for getting the certification and then continuing that, keeping that up. And as Cindy mentioned, we are very fortunate at Van Deese Medical Center to have two SANE nurses. Melissa Vaughn is our second SANE nurse, and she is a registered nurse who works in our surgery department. Was unable to join us for today's recording, but we certainly want to mention her role as well. And being a critical access hospital in the state of Iowa, extremely fortunate to have two nurses on staff that have this unique certification. So hats off to both of you. Let's talk about why it's so important that we discuss sexual assault and raise awareness about this topic.
Well, sexual violence impacts everyone. Anyone can be a victim of sexual violence, and people who commit sexual abuse, assault, and harassment exist in all of our communities. If you think they don't, you've really turned a blind eye to mm-hmm. that. It just underscores why it's so important for all of us to care about sexual violence and take steps to promote the safety and well-being of others. And I'll just touch a little bit on what entails with sexual violence. It's kind of an umbrella term that includes any type of unwanted sexual contact, including sexual abuse, assault, and harassment. And forms of sexual violence include rape or sexual assault, sexual harassment, sexual abuse, unwanted sexual contact or touching, sexual exploitation, and trafficking. And I know we've done a program before on trafficking. Mm-hmm. Exposing one's genitals or naked body to others without consent, non-consensual image sharing and/or coercion, including AI-generated imagery. AI is something brand new that is an image that is generated by the computer. They're bringing more of that into the coercion as far as using an image against consent. And with AI generation, it's really hard to tell the difference between a real picture and the AI generated image. So parents, just be very aware of sharing images of your children. And if that does happen, know that it is an offense that would be reportable to the police. So statistics, over 53% of women and over 29% of men report having experienced sexual violence. More than one in four non-Hispanic Black women, 29% in the United States, were raped in their lifetime. One in three Hispanic women reported unwanted sexual contact in their lifetime. More than four in five American Indian and Alaskan women, 84.3%, have experienced violence. And 32.9% of adults with intellectual disabilities have experienced sexual violence. So it is out there, and that's why we're doing this radio program today, is just to really make people understand that percentages are there, and it does happen to people every day.
Absolutely, you're right. This is an opportunity to educate and engage the public about sexual assault, sexual violence, harassment, and abuse. And, you know, hospitals like ours help to address this widespread issue. So Cindy, in your role working with the hospital and in this position, let's talk about some warning signs of sexual assault and or abusive relationships.
So survivors of sexual assault may not want to talk about their trauma immediately. There are some signs to watch for, and these signs can vary according to the trauma that occurred and the person that it happened to. Each person has their very own way of dealing with stress and coping mechanisms. Other factors can be age, other unrelated traumas in their lives, therapy that they may be in. They may show signs of not trusting people, doors being locked, lights on in the home, lights off in the home. They may isolate themselves away from family and friends that are normally around them. They may stop hanging with friends, not wanting to go to social events that previously had joy associated with them, such as school activities, sports. They may have been playing in basketball or in plays, and now all of a sudden they don't want to do that anymore. Having outbursts of anger, crying uncontrollably, or lack of emotion altogether, like a shock syndrome. Physical signs can be bruising, difficulty walking, bleeding, broken skin, and even broken bones. Weight gain, overeating, undereating, excessive worrying, lack of caring about day-to-day things, including self-care, like showering, falling grades, self-harming activities such as cutting, oversleeping, drinking, drug abuse. All of those things can be signs of having been traumatized by sexual assault.
Very good. I think that is so important. I mean, if there's anything, I just, for our listeners out there, if you're a parent, be thinking about watching for some of the signs. If say your daughter or son is withdrawn from their usual activities, I think that is such a key part of this program is, again, educating and engaging the public what to watch for, and then not to shy away from those conversations with family members. Maybe it's even with, a neighbor. It might not be with your own kids. Maybe it's nieces and nephews, but really we all have a role in this. Now, this next question, I ask this, and I think it is startling sometimes for people to hear, but when we talk about sexual assaults happening, we probably think they're committed by strangers. But what's the truth of the matter, Cindy?
So 80% of sexual assaults occur by someone that the survivor knows. They've come in contact with them, sometimes just casually. And 1 in 4 college students report being sexually assaulted or have an attempt of a sexual assault. In the U.S., approximately 1 in 6 women and 1 in 33 men experience attempted or completed rape in their lifetime, with sexual assault occurring about every 68 seconds. That's pretty often.
Yeah.
Women and racial ethnic minority groups experience a higher burden of sexual violence, and about half of the female victims of rape being reported by an intimate partner, and 40% by an acquaintance, such as a friend or neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Underreporting, rape is the most underreported crime, with 0.63% of sexual assaults that are not reported to police, and only, which this is kind of scary, but 12% of children's sexual abuse is reported to authorities. Whether parents think, well, that didn't happen, that couldn't have happened to my child, they sometimes turn a blind eye because they don't know any better. And that's kind of why this is important today, to talk about this, so that parents can say, that can happen to my child, and they're more aware and can just be more wary of what's going on with their children. It's just so important to talk to your kids from a very mm-hmm. young age and listen to what they have to say and believe them is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Great points to share. Let's talk about sexual coercion and how common is that?
Well, first I'll t- tell you exactly what sexual coercion is. It's an unwanted sexual activity that happens when you're pressured, tricked, or threatened. And it can be forced in a non-physical way. Coercion can make you think you owe sex to someone. It might be from someone who has power over you, like a teacher, a landlord, a boss. Sexual coercion is the act of using pressure, alcohol, or drugs, or force to have sexual contact with someone against his or her will. And it includes persistent attempts to have sexual contact with someone who has already refused. It can occur in any existing relationship or even just a casual one. Saying no means no. A helpline for you to talk with someone concerning coercion if you think you've in that situation is 800-799-7233, or you can even text START to 88788.
Very good. Great to share those resources. Thank you, Cindy. Mm-hmm. Now I want to take some time and talk specifically about your role as a SANE nurse. How do you help support survivors of sexual assault?
Well, my role as a SANE nurse is to provide safety and support to the survivor and to provide patient care to the victim of sexual assault and other trauma that may occur along with it. Secondly, if indicated, to collect specimens and conduct a history of the assault that could be used in a follow-up legal process. A sexual assault does not have to be reported initially to the police, and a KIT can be done anonymously for the patient. And that decision is to seek police intervention that can be made later. We're solely here to help them navigate through this process of trauma and to help them survive this time in their lives. We have advocates that assist them along the way from the very beginning that have a huge impact on the healing process. Not everyone understands what an advocate is, and that's they're sent to us. We have an 800 number that they call, and they're all over the state of Iowa. Our last one came from Algona, and they have so many resources for the parent, so many resources if it is a child, so many resources for the patient themselves, everything from a phone to use, clothes, gift cards for food. A lot of times their personal belongings are gone, so they help them in the recovery process of that. And then also getting resources for them for counseling down the road. Mm-hmm. So they're very, very helpful.
It's like for their survival, you know,
it's
pick them up
part
and
of
put
the
them
healing.
Back on their
it's
feet.
Part of the healing process,
yes.
And moving forward.
Absolutely. So. And needed. If you think about that, mm-hmm. for someone that has gone through that, just knowing that there's help here at their local hospital. And then, as you mentioned, these advocates that just will really come together for anything that they need.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So very important. The work that people are doing is really fantastic. Again, I want to share, we talked about it. We're very fortunate that we do have two certifying SANE nurses at Van Diest Medical Center. This is a unique certification. Not all hospitals have registered nurses with this certification. Cindy mentioned that. And so these hospitals, if they're in those situations, what do? They send?
They can transfer the patient
elsewhere.
In the past, I have been called by hospitals if I'm able to go or even just help talk them through it. Now with Avell also, if Melissa and I are not available, Avell, which is a computer service that is offered here at Van Diest in our trauma rooms, they can help the nurse that would be there if we weren't available to get through the sexual assault exam, or the provider also. Mm-hmm. We do have our own set of orders for that. So that's already taken care of, and that's set into our computer system through Cerner. So that is very helpful.
And I'm glad you mentioned what Avell was for mm-hmm. our listeners. I mean, these are professionals that are with us on video, right in the trauma rooms.
Yeah, so it's live nurses, live doctors, emergency room doctors that are available to us for any questions, and then also for charting. Mm-hmm. So they're very, very unique and so very helpful.
Yes, it's having them there without them not. They're not standing, physically standing in the room, but they're right there. They're another
they're right
set
there.
Of
yep.
hands, eyes, and ears, and mm-hmm. it's horrific to have, especially in sometimes in situations like these. What information do you feel is additionally extremely important to share with our listeners about this topic?
One thing I want people to know that it is possible that you may hesitate to seek help. Maybe due to a range of factors, including your fear of the stigma over your gender or your sexual orientation, and that an exam is still important and very available. Some things I want people to know if you have been sexually assaulted is do not clean up before coming to the emergency room and receiving medical care. Don't think that you have to take a shower to come see me if you've been sexually assaulted. Try to avoid any of the following things: taking a shower or a bath, using the toilet, changing your clothes, combing your hair, cleaning up the area where you were assaulted. All those things are very important as far as getting and gaining information about the assault and for prosecution down the road. If you have to change your clothes before seeking care, put them in any other items that you had on in a paper bag. Paper is really important. Don't put it in a plastic bag. And what it does is it protects any evidence on them. And you should bring a change of clothes to the hospital for after the exam if it might make you feel better. But we do have scrubs available to wear just so that you have clothing. So
great,
we try to make them as comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. So our goal is for survivors to know that this specialty care is available, and most importantly, there are resources available. Now, Cindy, you touched on a couple of great resources. I want to make sure we reinforce those at the end of the program here. Where can we direct sexual assault survivors to find counseling and support?
Help is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Line. You can call an 800 number and talk with a counselor, and they can help direct you on closest facilities. That number is 800-656-HOPE, HOPE, or visit the online service through rainn.org, and it's all strictly confidential.
Very good. I do want to mention, too, that we have a terrific behavioral health services team at Vandy Medical Center. We had Mary Claire Wunderlich on the show last week. She is our newest psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. She has joined Julie Trout, who is also a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. And we have just added Samantha Snowvell, who is a licensed mental health counselor. Any of those three specialists could be reached by calling Vandy's Family Health Clinic at 515-832-7800. Cindy, any additional information you wish to share?
If you or someone you know has been affected by sexual violence, it's not your fault, and you're not alone.
Again, we want our listeners out there to know there is support available. Sometimes you may need to be that support for those that are in situations like this, but help is available. There are resources. Cindy, I want to thank you for being on the show and talking about this very important topic. Thank you for being that resource for our communities. I also want to thank Melissa Vaughn for being a resource. Both of these nurses, as we've mentioned, are certified sexual assault nurse examiners, and we're very fortunate to have them on staff. So thank you again.
You're very welcome.
And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.